Welcome to the Men on Purpose podcast, featuring dynamic conversations with emerging and established visionary men on purpose. Thanks for joining us today as we celebrate the men on purpose who are committed, creative, courageous change makers all around the world. Now, here's the host of Men on Purpose, Emerald Greenforest.
Welcome to another episode of the Men on Purpose podcast, where we celebrate men on purpose and provide our listeners with wisdom and immediately actionable steps to be more purposeful, powerful, and positive in their impact and their leadership. This is your host, Emerald Greenforest, and today we welcome our very special guest, Richard Villasana, I hope I pronounced that correctly, who is the founder of Forever Homes for Foster Kids, a leading international authority on immigration issues and foster families. He is a proud Navy veteran and has been featured on CNN International, Univision, AP News, ABC TV, Costco Connections, Washington Post, and EFE, the world's largest Spanish language media company. He is a columnist with Foster Focus magazine and an international speaker. He's also been honored as a California hero and has translated for the United Nations. For 25 years, his nonprofit has worked with government agencies across the country to reunite immigrant and foster children with their families. What an amazing and magnificent man on purpose you are, Richard. And I actually had the pleasure of dining right across the table from him at the New Media Summit a few months ago. And he is just as amazing as his autobiography here indicates. He's a really fun and wonderful and dedicated and amazing man. So thank you so much for coming and being on the show, Richard.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
I want to start with you on this calling that you have to help foster kids and provide forever homes for them. Please tell me where you got inspired. Like, what was the backstory for that? How did this come into your awareness as something that you wanted to take part in?
Well, I'll go back a little before that. I was working with a mentor, and a lot of people don't know that I've spent 20 years working in the international arena. So I have dealt with countries around the world and all six continents. The only ones we haven't sold to are the penguins in Antarctica. I have dealt with 80% of Latin America. I've lived in Europe. I've lived in Mexico. So I had this really rich wealth of background and languages. I speak three to four, depends upon how much I use one or the other. And with that background, my mentor at one point had pointed out to me that a real gift for finding information that sometimes is in front of people and sometimes it's hidden, and I would just sense it out. You know, people talk about having an intuition. I listened to my intuition and has guided me to find people. But what really kicked this up, because for quite some time, out of 25 years, we had had cases for foster children. We would get calls periodically. So we were doing the work and we were reuniting foster children with their relatives. And I really got the call about 12 years ago. And just out of the clear blue, I get this phone call. The gentleman says, "Hi, I've been following your career. I love your work. We need to talk." And I'm like, "Okay, who is this?" And he tells me his name. It's Kevin Campbell. And he goes on to explain that he had created a process called family finding. And in social circles, family finding is where you look for, identify, and locate relatives. And that's what foster care agencies around the country are doing. And he had kind of created this. He was the architect of this idea of family finding in Washington State and perfected it and took it nationwide. And he's the guy. He is the leader in the United States for finding people in the United States. The reason he was calling me, though, is because at the same time, almost same year, everything, I had created this process of doing this with people outside the U.S. So I had great success finding people all throughout Mexico. And that's why he was contacting me, because he said, "Look, you've got this ability. you've got this technique, whatever it is you're doing, you're finding people, you're reuniting these children that, let's face it, 50% divorce rate in the U.S. Somebody's going to go somewhere. They may go to Canada. They may go to London. They may go to Paris, but they may go to Guadalajara, or they may go to Tijuana. Wherever they go, they're not in the U.S. anymore. And as we're more mobile, this is going to happen more and more. So we have children who are U.S. citizens who go into foster care, and they need someone to find their relatives, because that's what the process is all about. Find an aunt, find an uncle, get them reunited. And it really was that phone call where here's someone who is in the know, who knew and talked to everyone around the country, said, we desperately need someone to come on board with your expertise to help this group of children.
Hmm. Beautiful. Well, so that is a great story, Richard. But what I would really like to know is, like, where did you get this passion for foster care kids and for reuniting kids? Like, do you have a backstory of your own? Were you in foster care? Did you know people who were in foster care? Like, or was this something that literally came out of the blue for you to start getting engaged and involved in this area?
Well, I am the oldest of 9 kids. And being the oldest, you have a sense of responsibility. And I was responsible for the younger group of kids, my 4 oldest brothers. And I was kind of their protector. You know how it is with families. You know, maybe everyone's not loving and doing kumbaya, maybe a little bit of infighting. And I was the one protecting them from some of the others. So I kind of had that paternal, you know, feeling in the first place. And I did have some friends who, at their senior year in high school, one got kicked out of his home, and another one, his family was moving to another state. And we were really tight. I mean, there were 4 of us, and you couldn't get us apart. And so I said, look, why don't you stay at my house? And God bless them. My father and my mother said, look, it's your room. It was a big room. And if you can put up with people being there, we're okay with it. So I ended up having 2 roommates. And we did that for 1.5 years, kind of rotating between the 4 of us and having them stay over at my house and finishing out and graduating. So in a way, I did have kind of one person that's homeless, another person that wanted to stay behind. And that probably was part of it, because I felt responsible and, you know, make sure that we're all doing okay, because they were, you know, in my house. And so, and I think a big part of it is a sense of justice. These children do not have anyone talking for them. They do not have a voice. There is no one. You go to Yahoo.com or AOL, you do not see stories about foster kids. You see stories about anything else, but you don't see stories about foster kids. They are hidden, and they need someone with a voice, someone who will get out there and talk about them and let people know they are not bad kids. They are not troubled kids. They may be kids who are traumatized. And can I tell you a story?
Yes, please.
Right. This will probably really explain what happens to a foster kid. So one of the cases I worked on, the girl's name was Veronica. She was 15 years old, and she was living with her father. Doing whatever teenage girls do, teenagers do, thinking about the weekend, junior high, her whole life changed. Her father got sent to prison, and she went into foster care. Now, like I said before, the agency jumped on it and tried to find other relatives so someone would step up and take her in. But they could only find an uncle, and he had died 3 years ago. So she has no relatives that they can find in the United States. Now, if she stayed in the foster care system, which was most likely, at the age 18, when she's out, you don't get a birthday cake. What you do get is a grocery bag, or you get a plastic garbage bag. You put your clothes into it. They drop you off. You may have some money in your pocket. You may not. And yes, there are programs out there that will help foster kids, but a lot of kids, this is what happens on their 18th birthday. They get dropped off somewhere. They instantly become homeless, or they turn to crime, prostitution, anything to keep a roof over their head. A lot of these kids have not finished high school because they've been moving around for years. And the worst part is, because they know where people are getting dropped off, the sex traffickers have already targeted the locations. Veronica could have been picked up and in a sex trafficking situation within 6 hours.
Wow.
That's how fast they move. That was her probable future. Her adoption at 15 years old, less than 1%. Her only hope at this point is if the agency could find her mother, who had divorced her father, and moved to Mexico. So they were desperate. They came to my organization. 3 weeks later, we found her mother. Her mother let us know about two aunts who are living in Houston, and that's where Veronica is living now. She's back in school, she's back on track, and she's living with her aunts who love her and will protect her and keep her safe. She's back with her family. That's the work that we do, and those are the cases that we handle.
Wow, that's really amazing. What do you do, Richard, when you find that you can't find the family members? Like, how do you sleep at night with that? You know, like, I mean, I love what you are doing, and it's amazing that you're actually helping to reunite these kids with their families. But like, what would have happened if Veronica's aunts or her mom were not found? How do you navigate that?
That's a great question. And, you know, I always like being honest and upfront with people. There are times we're not going to find them. Nobody's going to win 100%.
Right.
It just happens. And sometimes we'll find relatives who don't want to take the child in for whatever reason. They've heard bad news. Their situation is such that they can afford to take in the child. That's one. Sometimes there's just not enough information. The children are too young. They just do not know enough to give enough helpful information for a search to take place. And we handle those cases too. So when there is a situation like that, a lot of times these children are eligible for adoption. And adoption might be held up because the courts feel that not enough has been done to find a relative. Mm. Well, that's an advantage they have with my organization. That one thing, the counties around the country are the ones who work foster care at the local level. So these counties, now think about it. They've got limited resources. They've got people coming and going, high turnover rate with caseworkers and management, which means they're always in that, like, that beginning cycle. No one's got a lot of experience. No one's got years on the job. Sure, there are a few places, but that's more the exception than the rule. So you've got all this turnover, all this turmoil, children coming in, and sometimes the courts will say, you know, we don't think you've done enough to go look for those relatives. Mm. And that's when the counties will turn to us and say, look, we don't know what else to do. They live outside the U.S. We don't speak Spanish. We don't read it. We don't know who to call. Mm. They call us and we'll go into action. Now, when we can't find someone, we give a report. Now, I don't want to minimize that report because that report lays it out for the courts very clearly. Here's who we tried to find. Here's why we can't find them. 1, 2, 3, 4. And we lay it out so well that when the courts get it, the courts always accepted that and said, you know what? We'll go along with this determination. We understand that we can't find the parent. We'll now let the adoption go forward because you've met the legal requirements. So we've had a lot of adoptions that have moved from 0 to 60. And that child is now adopted in the next several months because of our work.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. I love you, Richard. I knew I loved you. I knew even if I threw down the gauntlet on that one, that you'd have a great answer for it. Well, we have to take a break already. It's fast. It goes so fast. But when we come back from the break, we're going to talk a lot about your organization and its requirements in order to keep doing the magnificent work that you are doing. But right now, Men on Purpose, we need your help. If you're enjoying this show and want us to stay on the air, please consider making a donation at www.menonpurposepodcast.com. We'd also like to ask you to share with your lovely lady friends that a brand new show is now being broadcast just for them called the Wickedly Smart Women Podcast. Help a gal out and let your sisters, mothers, daughters, wives, and female friends and colleagues know about our new show so we can serve them with great content too. Thanks to all of our listeners who are downloading, rating, and reviewing. We've already had thousands of downloads from all over the world. I'm going to shout out this week to our listeners in Mexico. And if you are a listener in Mexico and think you might have a child somewhere in the world that might have gotten slipped into the foster care system, you might want to reach out and talk to Richard and raise your hand to take them in and serve them with a forever home. We will be right back with Richard Villasana.
The Men on Purpose podcast is brought to you by the Creative Age Consulting Group. Men, are you ready to take the leap and go deep to discover the most meaningful mark you can make with your life? Is now the time to consciously craft the legacy life you want to lead? Are you already a legendary leader looking for your big what's next? Creative Age Consulting Group is hired to help men just like you to gain clarity, create consciously, and commit courageously. Please visit timetomakeyourmark.com to apply for an invitation-only consultation. Be sure to apply for a consultation today if you have been inspired to receive support in serving your purpose and making your most meaningful mark. Once again, that's timetomakeyourmark.com or click on the link in the show notes for access to the application.
And we are back with the founder of Forever Homes for Foster Kids. You can find out more about Forever Homes for Foster Kids at foreverhomesforfosterkids.org. And the word for is spelled out F-O-R. We will have that information in the show notes. So I hope I'm pronouncing Richard's name right. And if I'm not, I'm sure he's going to forgive me. But one thing that I know nonprofits require more than anything is donations. So even if I've massacred Richard's name, my prayer is that you will open up your hearts and your wallets and send donations to support this amazing work that he is doing for people internationally, for children internationally. And I also want you to know, if your heart is opened and you're feeling inspired to volunteer, that's the other thing that nonprofit organizations can always use, is more man or woman power on the job to help with the things that they are doing. And obviously what Richard's got going on here requires lots of research, and I'm sure all kinds of other things are happening behind the scenes that we're going to ask about right now. So Richard, what is your dream list as a nonprofit leader? You know, aside from money, we always want money to come in, keep flowing the money in, but what would be your dream list of people that you could leverage in volunteer capacity to support the mission, to expand your reach and your ability to serve these children?
Actually, there's one woman in particular, Eva Longoria. She already has a nonprofit where she helps Latinas, young, you know, Hispanic women who are in their teens, to be able to go to college. So she's already there. The one thing I'd love to reach out to her about is that there's not any kind of a focus, though, on foster Latinas who are in the system. And those are ones who really desperately need help. Yes, there are lots of kids who are disadvantaged, but these kids, like I said before, they get moved at least twice a year. There's a case right now where these children have been moved more than 100 times in being in foster care. That breaks down, if they were there as a baby until 18, they've been moved more than five times a year. Just imagine that. I mean, the disruption, going to another person's home, no matter how nice they are, they have different rules, different ways of eating food, different ways of, you know, doing their religion, different beliefs, all this. And then 6 months later, boom, they're in another home and they're doing the same thing all over again. How do they sleep? How do they eat? Where do they go? What school do they go to? This total disruption in their lives. So that's one person I would love to make contact with, because she's already got the infrastructure. She's already helping the group that would need them the most. Mm. And the other person would be Sarah Michelle Geller. She also is someone who is very upbeat and active in helping women's groups and disadvantaged women's with children. Mm. So those who are already in this arena, they're already helping. It would be great if I could meet with them, talk with them, and get them on board to expand it out just a little bit more and help bring in these kids. And again, the kids that we help, they're both types. They're immigrant children, like you mentioned earlier, who do come up from another country and get into the U.S. And there are also those who were born in the U.S. with, like Veronica. Mm-hmm. Now, she had a U.S. father. She was a U.S. citizen, but she got into foster care. But she had a mother who is Hispanic, who ended up going back to Mexico. So we have both types, and we've worked both type of cases. Mm. And I hope that people understand there are more than 400,000 Veronicas right now, different ages, different situations, but they're all in foster care and they all want to get out.
Yeah, I would imagine they do. Well, so that's a really powerful call out. Eva Longoria and Sarah Michelle Gellar. If any of our listeners can make connections for Richard in those two directions, please go to foreverhomesforfosterkids.org and make the direct connect there with him to help him out. I'm also interested because those were like big celebrity outreach kind of requests, call to action. But I'm really curious about the organization itself, like the overall organization. How many people do you have working with you or for you in the organization? And what does the organization need to be continuing to flourish?
So the organization has between 8 and 12 people. We have people who are there depending upon what their needs are. So we run a tight ship, you know, with 20 years of international marketing and business. I treat this more like a business in the sense of we do with as little as we have. We try to stretch it out as much as possible. And that is an advantage because, unfortunately, some nonprofits don't have that advantage of someone who spent years in business and has learned how to work with little and make it stretch out. So that's an advantage that I'm very proud of that we have. But just like any other organization or company, you've got to have the pieces to make it work. So we need people who know how to work on websites. We need people who enjoy going to Facebook and working there or Twitter or Instagram. We need those people who would volunteer. We need people who would volunteer to reach out to other organizations, would help us with the fundraising. There are so many aspects in the work that we do that someone could come in who has a passion. That one person who is, you know, they could be doing bake sales and they raise a boatload of money because they're just that good. Or someone who just loves putting together events like a, you know, 5K. That's great because I'm busy and the people I have on our team, they're busy taking in the cases for these foster kids, finding their relatives, and getting them reunited. That's what we're busy doing. So we need someone else who's got that look, that specialty, who can come in and say, I like what you're doing, but you're not doing this. I can help. Mm-hmm. We would love to have those people, and they're very necessary.
Yeah, beautiful. So I assume you have a board of directors, yes?
We have a board of advisors because we are still small. We're working on that too. But we have some very heavy hitters on our board of advisors. We have one gentleman in particular who worked in the White House, and he is a very strong guiding force for us as we're moving forward and growing the organization. And we've got another person who's spent a lot of time working with sponsors. That's one of our areas and our goals is to get some sponsors. Yeah. So we can get the corporations involved because their workforce is going to be millennials. They're coming up and they're looking for jobs and they're the ones who are coming into the workforce with these insights of how to work with social media and marketing and how to relate to their group. And guess what? They are interested in companies who are not just looking out for the dollar. They're looking for companies who want to give back to the community.
Yeah.
They want to see that the company's giving back and that there's options and opportunities for them to not only the company, but for them as employees to be participants in their community.
Yeah.
And so when they partner with a nonprofit like Forever Homes for Foster Kids, that's an opportunity for the business to shine, for the business to showcase this to those workers coming in, and also to get the word out, because it will get the word out. And so let's face it, if you've got company A who's selling a product to company B, but company B is working with foster children, and they've got a product that's family or child-oriented, well, it's kind of easy to see where is the consumer going to go, because most of the women, I think the number is like 85, 87% of the decisions for buying are coming from women. Guess where they're going to probably tend to go?
Where their
the
heart
one who's
tells
doing
them.
Something.
Yeah, where their heart tells them to go. Right. Exactly. Well, Richard, we've got time for one more question. So I want to ask a personal question. You know, what do you do to keep going as an executive in this role? Like, what's your secret sauce that, you know, allows you to keep, you know, going forward every single day and keeps your courage muscle? Like, what do you do to exercise your courage muscle to just stay committed and keep moving forward and making the big asks like Eva Longoria and Sarah Michelle Gellar? And what's your secret sauce to keep yourself motivated?
It really goes back to a sense of justice, or in this case, injustice, that these are children who do not have anyone speaking for them, that they're hidden, that if we don't step up, if we don't get that case, if someone asks us and we don't have the right response to them and they decide to take that case, it goes right back into the file cabinet. And that child, if they're 13 years old, that means for the next 5 years of their life, they're sitting in an institution. Now, they may be with wonderful foster parents. And there are thousands of adults who have given up their life or have, you know, donated it to take care of these children. There are wonderful people out there. And there are others who adopt. But there are thousands and thousands of Veronicas. And the bottom line is, I realize that if we don't take that case, if we don't work it as hard as possible, that child is going to stay in that system, and then they're going to come out with the results and the possible outcome that Veronica was facing. Prison, homelessness, being attacked, being killed. You know, these are things we don't like to think about, but this is what could happen to these kids who got into the system for no fault of their own, just because something happened with their family. And now they're in foster care. That's what gets me up in the morning. I don't need anything else. Maybe a little Dr. Pepper. But other than that, that's about it. Yes, that's my vice, is Dr. Pepper. It's okay. I figure my taste buds are going to be happy when I pass. But that's about it, because that thought alone drives me.
Well, you are magnificent, and I am so grateful that you answered the call, Richard. What a beautiful, beautiful gift you are to the world, and what a beautiful gift Forever Homes for Foster Kids is. Thank you so much for being on the show. And listeners, we do love feedback. Please let us know what you thought of today's show. We do have a new listener line set up where you can call in and leave a message. The number is 540-402-0043, extension 3333. Or you can send in questions or guest suggestions to listeners at menonpurposepodcast.com. We might even give you a shout out on the show, especially if you send a nice donation to Forever Homes for Foster Kids and let us know that you did that. Thanks for tuning in. Keep your ears open. And remember, you are magnificent men.
Thanks for tuning in, downloading, and listening. Be sure to review and rate Men on Purpose on Apple Podcasts and share with other men who can benefit from today's episode. Men on Purpose is the premier podcast series for informing, activating, and inspiring the leader who has made his money and knows now is the time to make his mark. We welcome your feedback and guest suggestions and invite you to subscribe to our mailing list to be notified of each new episode at menonpurposepodcast.com.